He's Hacker.
Talk about a fried egg. I lasted about 5 minutes out there. I said, to heck with this. I'll do this in the morning. And I don't have any inside information. The lady that did it, she got in there.
Don't
I
know.
Mean, she made it happen.
And he doesn't shy away from opinion.
And I do enjoy drinking cold beer at ballparks. So if that makes me a baseball fan, then I'm a diehard baseball fan.
It's Hacker After Dark on 1010XL.
And a very good NFL Draft Eve to you, Jacksonville. It is Hacker After Dark, 1010XL, 92.5 FM with Dylan Denmark. The Hacker Ryan Green with you 24 hours from right now. Roger Goodell will walk across that podium in Detroit and officially put the Chicago Bears on the clock. The Jaguars, of course, pick 17th tomorrow night as it stands right now. They will have 8 picks over the 3-day period, including 5 of those 8 in the top 116. This is the last Hacker After Dark before the first round. I will be with you tomorrow afternoon with Hayes Carline sitting in on the Franzi Show as Frank gets ready for the Jaguar draft broadcast. So I'll be on 4 to 6 tomorrow with Hayes. But the last Hacker After Dark until round number 1 and 48 hours from now during rounds 2 and 3, head coach Dave Campo will be in studio with us here on Hacker After Dark. So we have a ton to do over the next 72 hours or so. Guest lineup looks like this, and we're absolutely jam-packed. In fact, we're going to go to Detroit in less than 5 minutes. Brian Sexton of Jaguars.com is already up in Detroit. We'll get a lay of the land. We'll get a scene set from Brian Sexton coming up in less than 5 minutes. Also, Dave Kluge of Football Guys will stop by. Shane Hallam of Draft Countdown will stop by. And that's all really in the next hour. We're absolutely loaded. Our last show before the draft. We've been talking about it for 3 months. So we're going to get everything out there on the table tonight before the draft goes off tomorrow in Detroit. Every night here on Hacker After Dark, we do kick it off with a big deal of the night. And Dylan Denmark, let's do that right now.
Time now for the big deal of the night.
What's the big deal?
What is the big deal?
No big deal.
It is a big deal.
On Hacker After Dark.
Again, Brian Sexton, Jaguars.com, moments away up in Detroit. Big deal of the night. I've gone back and forth over the days and the weeks and even the months that we've been talking draft. I was on the wide receiver train for a long time. I've been on the Jared Verse or edge pass rush train for the last couple of weeks. And I'm still semi on that train. But I think I've come around to the realization that if you look at the Jaguars and their biggest need on this team, it is cornerback. I don't like that necessarily, but that is the facts. They're better at wide receiver, in my opinion, than they are corner. They're better on the D-line, in my opinion, than they are at corner. And you got two really good corners in Terrion Arnold and Quinyon Mitchell. If one of those guys is there tomorrow night, to me, it's an absolute no-brainer. A no-brainer. If both of those guys are gone, then you have to ask the question. Is Cooper DeJean of Iowa worth the 17th pick? Is Nate Wiggins of Clemson worth the 17th pick? Is Kool-Aid McKinstry of Alabama worth the 17th pick? Can you trade down? I think, and I've said this all week, the betting favorite going into tomorrow night is corner for the Jaguars. I believe that to be the case, and I believe whether it's at 17, whether it's a move up a couple of spots, or whether it's a move back a couple of spots, I believe by the end of tomorrow night, the Jaguars will have a brand new cornerback on their roster. And in using a first-round pick on said corner, he will be relied on to contribute in a big way. In a perfect world, it's either Terrion Arnold or Quinyon Mitchell. If both of those guys are gone, whether it's Kool-Aid McKinstry, whether it's DeJean from Iowa, whether it's Wiggins from Clemson, I believe one of those five will be a Jacksonville Jaguar in a little over 24 hours from now. Having said all that, we got a heavy guest lineup tonight. Let's get it started up in Detroit. Just a couple minutes ago, I got off the phone with Brian Sexton of Jaguars.com. He joins us up in Detroit to give us a lay of the land 24 hours out from the NFL draft.
Let's ring up another guest on the All-Pro Roofing phone line.
Back here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM in the city of Jacksonville, we are now less than 24 hours away until Roger Goodell walks across that stage up in Detroit and officially puts the Chicago Bears on the clock with the number one pick in the draft. Of course, the Jaguars will pick 17th tomorrow night, and they have eight picks in total, including five in the top 116. Brian Sexton of Jaguars.com is already up in the Motor City, up in Detroit, and he joins us here on 1010XL. Brian, how we doing?
Good, Ryan. How are you?
Brian, we're good. Thank you for joining us again this week. And all right, give us the lay of the land. You've been in Detroit now for over 24 hours. What's the vibe up there heading into tomorrow evening?
Well, I'm going to sound like a Floridian. First of all, the vibe is, why couldn't this be in Vegas? It's cold. It's 40 and windy. No, I just got back from the Play 60 event where the prospects go out and work with kids and Special Olympians. And in talking to the media, the vibe is, and Daniel Jeremiah and Charles Davis in particular, from the NFL Network, is that the Jags are one of those teams that's going to get their guy if they want a corner. There's so much activity about moving up for quarterbacks, right? For J.J. McCarthy, there's a couple of different teams, you know, who are investigating Bo Nix, and there's some surprises, but they're all around the quarterback, which means that you're going to see good players slide down the board. Offensive and defensive linemen slide, you know, between 9 and, say, 14. That's also going to push the corners back. So a team like Philly and Howie Roseman, who's been reported to be looking to move up to get their guy, he might not have to. He might be able to sit there and just take the next pick that comes his way. So the corner market, it's not incredibly deep, but there are four or five guys that fit between, say, 15 and 32, and that could put the Jaguars in a position to just sit there and get their guy.
Brian, 30-plus years for you covering the NFL, 20-plus years for me. We've seen a lot of NFL drafts combined.
You bet.
And every time this happens, it doesn't happen. And what I mean by that is Quinyon Mitchell, Brian Thomas, Terry and Arnold, all three of those guys have been mocked to Jacksonville over and over and over and over. And yet more times than not, come draft night when the commissioner goes up there, the Jaguars take somebody that maybe we haven't talked as much about or anything about. Do you believe that's the case, or do you think, unlike years past, it is going to be one of the guys we spent an awful lot of time on here as of late?
Well, I mean, the surprise could be that it's Nate Wiggins, right? That all the buzz is wrong and that corner is a valuable position. And Arnold and Mitchell are both – I talked to both of them this morning. Arnold and Mitchell are a notch above the rest of the corners. Impressive guys. Arnold from Alabama and from John Paul II High School in Tallahassee, Mitchell from Williston, Florida. You know, both of them are sturdy guys. Mitchell was such impressive speed. You could play him at press, and if he gets beat at the line of scrimmage, he's got the speed to make it up. Arnold just, I mean, he played at Alabama where, you know, Nick Saban was involved in his meetings and in his practices like no other position. So those two guys could go early, which would leave you with a choice between Cooper DeJean, who's a guy that I talked about the other day on your show, and Nate Wiggins, the kid from Clemson, who's long and lanky. He's got the length that defensive coordinators like. And I posed the question back to a guy, and he said, hey, look, it was Daniel Jeremiah. He's got the speed that if he gets beat, he can make it up, and the length that he can make it up. So maybe there's a guy like Nate Wiggins. And we know that, you know, Doug Peterson has a really strong relationship with Dabo Swinney. Who knows if that is the case? Also, you can never have enough pass rush, right? And Latu from UCLA is another kid that I talked to this morning. Impressive on the field this year. And remember, he was a guy who was medically retired by the University of Washington because of a neck injury. So he sat out for a year and then he transferred to UCLA. He's a little bit older. He's a little bit wiser. He's got a bevy of pass rush moves. Good sized kid. And again, incredible personality, would really fit in that room with Josh Allen and with Trayvon Walker. So I could see both of those guys being in the mix. And you don't know if there's an offensive lineman that they like. This is a great draft for offensive linemen. If there's an offensive lineman that they like that suddenly is in their range, well, maybe that changes their calculus too. The one thing we know is that in a crystal ball business, man, you just can't pick who's going to pick in front of you. And you don't know who's going to leapfrog back up into the top 10 and be willing to trade, you know, a bevy of picks to grab a guy that they want. I'll give you a name. If there's anybody that someone's willing to trade up for besides a quarterback, there is a lot of activity around Rome Odunze, the wide receiver from Washington. Mm-hmm. People love him, love him. And Charles Davis was telling me today that they had to turn the lights out on him. The NFL Network had to turn the lights out on him at the combine because he hadn't gotten the three-cone drill that he wanted. And so he was on the side working and working and working long after the wide receivers were done. And they had to say, hey, guy, we're closing the building. It's time to go. And people love him. And in fact, Daniel Jeremiah said, he's asleep well. You take him and you sleep well. So you just, it's hard to pick, Ry.
Couple of more for Brian Sexton, Jaguars.com. He's up in Detroit getting ready for Jaguars.com's coverage of the NFL draft tomorrow night. Brian, as we've gotten further in the week, closer to the draft, the thought is three quarterbacks are absolute lock at this point, you would assume. J.J. McCarthy looks to be the fourth quarterback that's going to go in the top 16. And there is a legitimate conversation, at least outside of Detroit, about Michael Penix, maybe even about Bo Nix. Do you think that it's viable that five or even six quarterbacks go? Because, Brian, as you well know, the more quarterbacks that go before Jacksonville, the better it is for the Jaguars tomorrow night.
You bet. I think three, maybe four go before the Jaguars. Penix would be someone falls in love with him. You know, his injury history with the ACLs, I think there's a shoulder of concern as well. He's been medically cleared. It just takes one, right? And if there's somebody who's got their eye on a quarterback and they lose out because someone bolts them to get the guy, yeah, you could see that. And you've got a guy, the Broncos are the wild card in flipping that switch. Because Sean Payton's a quarterback whisperer. We all know what he did with Drew Brees, who had shoulder surgery and had a shoulder injury. So, you could absolutely see a Penix or a Nix, whichever one he likes best. Remember, his philosophy was always, if you like a guy, go get him. Well, but, you know, they're sitting in a spot where they might just be able to sit there and get their guy. And, of course, all the smoke screens that are out, I think it's very likely that you see, but you will see four quarterbacks. I think it's likely that you'll see five. I don't think you'll see six before the Jaguars. That would be a dream come true because somebody would be sitting there for them that they didn't anticipate. But yeah, that's where all the activity. That's why I have this sense talking to people that the Jaguars are going to be able to sit tight at 17 and get the corner, if corner's their position. I'm assuming it is, but and by the way, that's the buzz up here, is the Jaguars are all in on corner. So either they are, or they've done a great job of putting that message out there, that they'd be able to sit tight and get a guy that they want, because the quarterbacks churn at the top of the draft, and teams that are angling to get in position to get the next one might create a downflow that works to their advantage.
I've changed my thought on that. I agree that corner is where they're going to go. I didn't think that probably a week and a half ago. I do now. I believe it will be either Terrion Arnold or Quinyon Mitchell if they're there. If both of those guys are gone, we'll see about DeJean or McKinstry or Nate Wiggins. The Brandon Ayuk stuff won't go away. You talk about Daniel Jeremiah. He was the guy earlier today that basically, I won't say linked the Colts and the Jaguars, but he mentioned the Colts and the Jaguars and the Brandon Ayuk stuff. A lot of people here have taken notice of that. I, for the life of me, Brian, do not imagine a scenario where either Brandon Ayuk or one of those top three receivers is a Jacksonville Jaguar in the next 24 hours. What are the chances of that, or do people need to wrap their mind around the fact that that's a long shot?
It's such a long shot, and here's why. Because there are good receivers through the first three rounds of this draft, and you not only don't have to give the pick away, but you don't have to give the big contract. Ayuk is going to come in and want a brand new deal. And you're not going to be able to trade for a player of his caliber without giving up your second round pick and millions of dollars, like $20 million a year. Jaguars have cap room. Yeah. They have a quarterback they need to sign, right? I just don't see that being viable. I'm not just talking about the Jaguars here. I don't know who out there would give up a high pick and then the mega contract for Brandon Ayuk. I think he's a really good receiver, but I don't see the Jaguars being that team. Not on draft day. Not when you have the second round pick, what is it, 43, where you can sit and take a receiver and there will be a good receiver there. Will it be a player at Ayuk's level right away? No, it won't be. But is it a guy who could become Ayuk? Because remember, when the Niners came to Jacksonville in 2021, there was a lot of discontent with Ayuk. He was in his second year from Arizona State and hadn't had really any success. And then he had a breakout game against the Jaguars that year. And since then, he's been a really good player. So I don't know. I don't see it happening because it costs too much in terms of draft capital and salary cap room.
And we'll see what Trent Baalke does. I don't think moving up is in the cards. Moving back, that could be a separate issue. We saw him do it twice last year. If Arnold and Mitchell are both gone at corner and maybe you like DeJean, McKinstry, and Wiggins, maybe you do move back 5, 6, 7 spots, gain some more draft picks, and still get your guy in the mid to late 20s tomorrow night in round number one. Brian Sexton, Jaguars.com. All right, Brian, you're up in Detroit. Give us a lay of the land. What can people expect beginning tomorrow with your coverage, with Jaguars.com's coverage up there in Detroit?
Well, we'll have happy hour, and I'll jump on and give the latest from Detroit. That's at 4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. And then we've got a 7:30 show on YouTube, and then live coverage, obviously, on 1010 with some of our guys that will be engaged in that. And if the Jaguars pick is here in Detroit, that's why I'm here. If the Jaguars pick is here on site, we'll have one of the first interviews with him. We'll get that turned around quickly, and people will get a sense of whoever that is and how excited they are. And listen, these interviews are always one of the most fun that we do because you see a young man and his family watch their lives change in an instant. So that is something to look forward to. Again, the first 5 years we did this, right? We got Dante Fowler, Jalen Ramsey, Leonard Fournette, Taven Bryan, and Josh Allen. We're all there. And since then, there was no Trevor, there was no Travis, there was no Trayvon. We got the linebacker from Utah.
Oh, Devin Lloyd.
Devin Lloyd. And then last year, no Anton Harrison. So I hope this year there is a player who is here. It will make it worthwhile.
Brian Sexton, Jaguars.com. Brian, I can't thank you enough. Twice in the last 3 days you've hopped on. Really appreciate it. We'll be listening tomorrow night to you up in Detroit. Thank you, my friend. Let's do it again after the draft. We'll see how the Jaguars fared.
You got it. Take care, Ryan.
There you go, Brian Sexton, Jaguars.com. Appreciate his time a little earlier up there in Detroit. It's all draft all the time up until 10 o'clock. We're on the eve of the NFL draft. If you've listened to me for any amount of time, you know I love Draft Countdown. It's one of my favorite websites. Shane Hallam is the man that runs Draft Countdown. He's been a very busy man this week, but he made time for us this evening as we're going to talk Jags, a little AFC South, and more. Less than 24 hours until the NFL draft, Shane Hallam of DraftCountdown.com is coming up next on a Wednesday night in Jacksonville, Florida. We're glad you're with us. It's 1010 XL. And it's 92.5 FM.
Bring up another guest on the All-Pro Roofing phone line.
Back here on 1010 XL and 92.5 FM in the city of Jacksonville, we are glad you are with us. And then there was one day remaining until the NFL draft. Of course, the Jaguars tomorrow night have the 17th pick in round number one. They have 8 picks in total over Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, including 5 selections in the top 116. With that, Shane Hallam of DraftCountdown.com. For those of you that have listened to my program over the years, you know I love Draft Countdown, and Shane's been a big part of our draft coverage over the years here on 1010XL. Shane, how you doing?
I'm good. It's like Christmas Eve here, just ready to unwrap the gifts tomorrow for the draft. I can't wait.
A guy like you, that this is what you do, right? I mean, you run DraftCountdown.com for the day before the draft, a year's worth of work. I mean, what is this day like for you?
I mean, it's exciting. You finally kind of see your work that pay off. And, you know, it's the busy week of finalizing the rankings, the mock drafts, and making sure everything's good to go and locked in. But it's just, you kind of get this sigh of relief when the draft starts. Like, here it is. This work's going to pay off here. So I'm excited to get to it and tweet and make content on the other side.
And I imagine you get a couple of days off, and then it'll be the 2025 NFL draft. You'll be full steam ahead. All right, Shane, here in Jacksonville, everybody's talking about corner. Everybody's talking about wide receiver for the Jaguars at 17. Before we really dive in, is that how you see it, the two biggest needs, corner and wide receiver for Jacksonville?
I do. I think that's probably the way that they're going to go, depending on if the Jaguars want to move around the board a little bit and how it falls. I think there are still other possibilities. I'm not leaving out a defensive lineman or an interior offensive lineman. I think if the board falls certain ways and the Jaguars get kind of stuck, they can definitely pivot to those other positions. But the cornerback group is deep enough that you should be able to find one there. And then wide receiver, I think it's going to depend on how much they like a Brian Thomas Jr. out of LSU, for example, or Xavier Worthy out of Texas, et cetera, one of the Texas guys, that if they're comfortable taking that risk at 17.
The two guys at corner that we hear the most about at 17 are Terrion Arnold of Alabama, Quinyon Mitchell of Toledo. First things first, odds that both or one of those guys are there at 17 tomorrow night?
I would put it at about 20% that you get one of them there, at maybe 25% that there's one there. Both, I think, 10%. I doubt that both will be there because of the needs of some of the teams picking above them. The Colts definitely have shown interest in corner. The Raiders have shown interest in corner, even the Broncos or Vikings potentially. So, but, you know, looking at the board, there's so many offensive linemen and teams that need that. If the quarterbacks get pushed up, that's when I think you could see Quinyon Mitchell or Terrion Arnold falling to 17. I also don't think it's out of the realm possibility for the Jaguars not to move up a ton, but move up, you know, three picks and give up something small to secure one of those players if they fall, say, to 14 to the Saints, who like to move back and move around the board a lot.
Shane Hallam, DraftCountdown.com. Shane, what I've been told, I'm curious your opinion, it's like six in one hand, half a dozen in the other, if you like Arnold more, if you like Mitchell more. But what I've been told is perhaps Mitchell from Toledo might fit Ryan Nielsen's scheme here in Jacksonville a little better than Arnold from Alabama. What's your thought there?
I would agree with that. I'm a Quinyon Mitchell fan. I mean, I like both players. I think they're both top 20 picks for sure. I think Quinyon Mitchell is just such a shutdown corner at his level, and we saw it when he played up in competition. And I think in Ryan Nielsen's offense, what Mitchell brings to the table is you have a little more of that kind of size and physicality at the line of scrimmage. I think he's better at the gym than Terrion Arnold. Arnold is the playmaker. I mean, Arnold's the guy that plays the ball really well, can make the big play. Quinyon Mitchell, I don't think he's going to intercept, you know, double-digit passes a year. That's not what you're asking him to do. You're asking him to shut down the number one wide receiver of the opposing team, and that's what he will do well. So I think that's more in line with maybe what the Jaguars want. But I think it's, like you said, I mean, you take the best guy. These two are clearly a tier above Nate Wiggins, the third corner from Clemson. If one's there and the other's gone, I don't think you hesitate to take Arnold, even if Mitchell is off the board.
Now here's the question, Shane. If both Arnold and Mitchell are gone, whether it is Nate Wiggins, DeJean from Iowa, McKinstry, the other Alabama corner, would any of those guys warrant the 17th selection overall?
I personally wouldn't do that if I were the Jaguars. I don't think I would reach at 17 for one of the other corners in this draft. I think maybe explore trade down if you really want a guy. But it wouldn't surprise me. I think Nate Wiggins is probably the one that you could make the justification for because he has the speed and athleticism to match up to top wide receivers in the NFL despite not having the size, which I think is what knocks Wiggins down. My final mock draft that'll come out tomorrow, I do have the Jaguars taking Terrion Arnold at 17. I have Wiggins going two picks later. So it's not out of the question. It's not, you know, a giant jump down. But if it was me, I just wouldn't want to spend a top 20 pick on a corner of Wiggins' size. And if I was the Jaguars, maybe a look to round two, round three for that cornerback position.
Couple of more for Shane Hallam, draftcountdown.com. All right, Shane, let's go to wide receiver. We know Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, Rome Odunze, they will be long gone by the time the Jaguars select at 17. Brian Thomas appears to be the guy if they want to go wide receiver. There was talk about A.D. Mitchell out of Texas, but it appears to me that Thomas might be separating himself a little bit from A.D. Mitchell as the clear number four wide receiver in this class. If Jacksonville were to go that route tomorrow night, does Brian Thomas warrant the 17th pick, and what are your thoughts on him?
I think from a talent perspective, Brian Thomas warrants the 17th pick. We saw him lead college football in touchdown receptions last year. He's big, he's fast, you know, he's rangy. You get kind of everything that you want in Thomas when you have a 6'3", 209 player that can run in the low 4.3s. Plus, he's a great red zone threat because of that size, and because of his athletic abilities. So I think from a playmaking perspective, Thomas is still a little bit raw in some of the fundamentals, running routes, how to use his upper body to fake out corners. He just started playing the position late in high school. So definitely still raw in that area. But I don't think the Jaguars need someone to come in and be an absolute, you know, stud number one day one. They have some depth there at wide receiver and can let Thomas come along. The one issue with Brian Thomas is he did have surgery on a torn labrum fairly recently, and the medical red flag popped up late. And that could be one of those things that gives you a pause. You know, do I really want to spend this pick not being able to go back in, take a look at that shoulder, make sure everything's sound? Maybe not. You know, I think that could be the one hesitation. If we do see Brian Thomas Jr. fall tomorrow, it's probably because of the medical red flag.
It's a dangerous proposition to gamble against the draft board. But what I've been told, Shane, is if you need corner and wide receiver, maybe go corner in round one, because wide receiver's deeper and you can get a better wide out at 48 than a corner. Do you agree with that?
I would agree with that statement. I like the day two wide receivers in this group very well. You know, I think you mentioned A.D. Mitchell. You know, he could fall to round two. Keon Coleman from Florida State. Ladd McConkey from Georgia. There's a ton of wide receivers, I think, in round two, even into round three, that I think could be quality starters. I think corner is the more immediate need, and I think there's a bigger drop off from the round one corners. I think we're going to see five cornerbacks go in round one tomorrow. After that, I mean, you're looking at maybe one or two guys that I really feel comfortable with in round two, and they might not make it to Jacksonville. And so you're really gambling in that case.
If not corner, if not wide receiver, offensive tackle, I think, is interesting, because Cam Robinson and Walker Little are both going to be free agents after the 24 season. You obviously have Anton Harrison, who looks like he's going to be very good. But offensive tackle, potentially a need. Now, some Jaguar fans are saying, well, I don't really want to draft somebody at 17 if they're not going to play in 2024. That's an interesting argument. But again, this is not a one-year proposition. The draft is supposed to be a 5 to 10 year proposition. And because of the uncertainty with Robinson and Little's futures after this season, I wonder potentially if offensive tackle could be in play for Jacksonville at 17. Your thoughts?
I think it could. I think their pick at 17 lines up with the offensive tackle value in this group. So that could be a possibility, whether it be Talese Fuaga from Oregon State, J.C. Latham from Alabama, Tyler Guyton from Oklahoma. I think the one thing that could hold them back is all of those tackles that I mentioned, the guys that are in that range, even Amarius Mims from Georgia, played right tackle in college. So it'd be a projection if you're like, hey, we're going to draft this guy, and, you know, we feel confident with Anton Harrison at right tackle. Maybe you can move Harrison over to left. This player can play right. Or you feel like, okay, I have a year to develop them as a left tackle. There's some that definitely have the athleticism to do it. So, you know, either way, it's kind of a projection. I think that might be the tough piece of how do you want to shift the offensive line around if you do draft someone. And let's be honest, I mean, the injuries are going to happen. And I think if you draft a tackle at 17, they're probably going to play at some point this year in some way or another. That's usually how it goes.
final moments. Shane Hallam, draftcountdown.com. All right, Shane, there's rumors that four, dare I say five, or even six quarterbacks could go reasonably early tomorrow night, which is great news for Jacksonville, who's certainly not in the market for a QB. The more quarterbacks that go, the more some of these defensive guys get pushed down the board. How do you see it? Do you believe the rumors out there that we're talking four, five, or even six quarterbacks could go reasonably early?
I think we do this every year, right? We look at the teams and we say these teams need a quarterback, so they're all just going to take one. And that's not how it works. Now, Will Levis last year was the betting favorite to be the number two overall pick the number four overall pick. He went in round two. You know, teams aren't just going to reach because they need a quarterback. So I'm pushing back against it. I think we see the three big quarterbacks go in the, you know, top three picks, at least top four picks, Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May. I think J.J. McCarthy from Michigan, who's getting the buzz, he might go number two. He's getting that late push, the smoke screen we always see at this time. I think he's still going to go relatively high. I am going 11 to the Vikings. And I think that's it. I mean, I think Michael Penix Jr. from Washington could sneak in, but I think it would be probably after Jacksonville's pick. I think Bo Nix from Oregon is not going to be a first-round pick no matter what. I could certainly be wrong there, but history has said that in this analysis, we kind of prop the quarterbacks up too much. They generally fall a little bit. So that might not be good news for Jacksonville if that happens. But if you get five or six in that top 15 range, I mean, that then you're definitely going to get one of those top corners, almost certainly.
As we begin to wrap up, Jared Verse is always my caveat, and he has been for the last couple of months. They don't have the biggest need at edge because of Trayvon Walker, Josh Allen. They signed Trevis Gibson. But to me, the idea of Jared Verse with Walker, Allen, and Armstead on that front four would be too good to pass up. The odds that Verse or Latu are there at 17 tomorrow night?
I think one will be there. Probably one of those two goes earlier. I would guess Jared Verse goes a little bit earlier, but it's very possible that if teams pivot to the offensive tackle position or those corners that we talked about in Quinion Mitchell and Terron Arnold go high, then probably, you know, one of Latu or Verse will be sitting there at 17. It could be difficult to pull the trigger, but we saw the Jets last year take Will McDonald, another pass rusher, after drafting Jermaine Johnson in round one the year before, now really having a huge need. You can't have enough of those players, and it can improve maybe the defensive backfield by having more pass rushers that can get to the quarterback. So I would not put it at 0%. I never put anything at 0% in the NFL draft.
All right, Shane, as we say goodbye, realistically, obviously Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, that's not realistic. But at 17 tomorrow night, throw everybody in that we've talked about. Brian Thomas, Quinion Mitchell, Terron Arnold, Jared Verse, any of those offensive tackles, throw them all in a pot. If it's you tomorrow night and they're all available, who should Jacksonville take at 17?
If it was me and I was sitting there, they're all available, I'm taking Quinion Mitchell, the cornerback out of Toledo. I think he's the best fit, like we talked about. You have a player who has insane athleticism, a 99 percentile athlete, who not only shut down receivers in the MAC, but in their out-of-conference play, he was absolutely dominant. To me, you can't put a price on a shutdown number one corner. I don't need a guy to make 8-10 interceptions if he's not letting the ball get to the top guy on the opposing team. It's worth it. I think Quinion Mitchell's that type of it's a high comparison, but he has that type of Darrell Revis ceiling where he could just be on an island and shut a guy down. To me, I'm taking that all day if that's available at 17.
Shane, tell the good folks here in Jacksonville about draftcountdown.com and the coverage you guys will provide tomorrow and through the weekend.
Go to draftcountdown.com. I have my top 500 big board. I watched 2,200 players in this draft, so you can see my rankings for all of them. And then on the day of the draft, my 7-round mock draft will drop, and we'll have coverage all weekend long. And then my 2025 mock draft, 7 rounds, will drop by the Tuesday after the draft ends.
Shane Hallam, draftcountdown.com. Shane, I know you're busy, man. Thank you as always. Let's do it again after the draft. We'll see where all the dust has settled when it comes to the Jaguars and how they made out up there in Detroit. Really appreciate it, my friend.
No, thanks for having me.
There you go, Shane Hallam, draftcountdown.com. Draftnetwork.com. So there's one guy I think's Quinyon Mitchell. That's where I'm leaning. Again, my caveat's Jared Verse, but I do believe Mitchell and Arnold at corner is a bigger need, and I think that's probably going to outweigh maybe best available tomorrow night. Now, if Arnold and Mitchell are gone, then we'll see, right? Then I think that shakes things up a little bit. Maybe a trade back could be in the works. I think it's more than likely if Jacksonville trades tomorrow, it's going to be a trade back like last year. Remember, Balky traded back twice last year. I don't envision a trade up. I think a trade back is possible if Terrion Arnold and Quinyon Mitchell are both off the board by the time the Jaguars come up at 17. Pro Football Network. Those guys have been with us for the last few months. Tony Catalini does a great job. In fact, he put out a 3-round mock draft earlier this week, and I really liked his 3-round mock when it came to the Jaguars. I'll have him tell you about that, get his thoughts on the Jags and the rest of the AFC South. That comes up next. PFN, Tony Catalini, on the night before the NFL draft. It's a Wednesday evening here on Hacker After Dark in the city of Jacksonville on 1010XL and on 92.5 FM.
Let's ring up another guest on the All-Pro Roofing phone line.
Back here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM in the city of Jacksonville, we are glad you are with us. Thursday night, the NFL draft kicks off up in Detroit. The Jaguars have 8 selections as it stands right now, including the number 17 pick in round number 1. What will they do with round 1? And they have 5 picks overall in the top 100. And 16. There's a lot to dive into with that. Tony Catalina of Pro Football Network. He's always kind enough to join us here on 1010XL in Jacksonville. Tony, how you doing?
I'm good, Ryan. Thanks for having me, man.
Hey, Tony, always appreciate the time. I know how busy you are, particularly this time of year. All right, the week is finally here. In fact, we're hours away from the NFL draft. For a guy like you that's done a lot of mock drafts over recent time, how exciting is this to finally see what happens on Thursday night?
You know, it really feels like a culmination of everything, right? You can go every week and you do a mock draft. You try to get the best information you can, put it all together and make sense of it. But you finally get to this point and you can almost like sit back and relax and just enjoy it. And you know, like you said, at the end of the day, it's all educated guesses and trying to do what you can. But, you know, it's going to be a fun weekend.
Tony, here in Jacksonville, the thought has been since free agency, corner, wide receiver, or wide receiver, corner. When you look at the roster here in Jacksonville in totality, where do you feel the biggest need is? Is it corner or is it wide receiver?
You know, I think corner is probably the first thing that pokes out to me when I think about it. I know they added Gabe Davis, a wide receiver, and I mean, it's something, but it's not going to, you know, cover up all of the needs there. So I think you're right on the money. Both of the two spots you can really interchange. Depends on how the board falls, right? I mean, we're going to talk about it here in a minute, but, you know, there could be a situation where they come around and wide receiver might be the smart pick and, you know, and vice versa. It could be cornerback. So when you're looking at it, it's a good draft to have both of those needs. But as we sit here heading into night one, I think that's kind of where the Jaguars' mind's at.
The two defensive backs that have been talked about the most here, Tony, Terrion Arnold from Alabama, Quinyon Mitchell out of Toledo. In fact, in your last mock draft that you did earlier this week, you had Quinyon Mitchell out of Toledo going. What I've been told is, and I've been told this by numerous people, I'm curious your thoughts. It's 6 in one hand, half a dozen in the other, what people think of Arnold and Mitchell. Some like Arnold better, some like Mitchell better. But Mitchell may be a better fit in Ryan Nielsen's defense here in Jacksonville. Do you agree with that?
I would. And personally, I mean, I'd love Terrion Arnold, but Quinyon Mitchell is probably my favorite cornerback in the entire draft. I mean, the guy is an elite athlete. You know, he does a lot of things well. I mean, he's strong. He's got a good frame, plays with good fluidity. And you're right. He'll fit right into that Jaguar system. So if there's a world or a possibility where both are sitting there, I probably think that the Jaguars lean to Mitchell here, in my opinion.
Tony Catalina of Pro Football Network here with us on 1010XL in Jacksonville. Quinyon Mitchell, a small school, obviously the Mid-American Conference compared to Terrion Arnold at Alabama. Mitchell is, from what I've been told, maybe not raw is not a good word, but maybe more of a project because of Toledo, but maybe you could do more with him down the road. Do you see Mitchell as having a higher ceiling than Arnold? Maybe not the guy Arnold is now, but potentially a higher ceiling in 2 or 3 years.
I could agree with that, right? There's a little bit of untapped potential, a little bit of unknown there just because he came from, you know, a MAC school, a smaller school, obviously, compared to Alabama. But it was really the Senior Bowl and what he was able to do with that top level of talent that kind of woke some people up. Like, I know scouts talking to people around the league, there was no real question marks about him. They kind of understood what he could bring to the table. It was more of like a public coming out party that week. But you're right. Like, he's somebody that kind of rose with the boards, maybe with the media mock draft guys, but not so necessarily the NFL dudes who kind of knew who he was already.
So you think Mitchell over Arnold for the Jaguars? I'm assuming that means if Mitchell's gone, you would be fine if the Jags took Arnold at 17.
I would. And everything I say about Mitchell in a positive light, I feel really good about Arnold, and I don't want to take anything away from that. Like, I think if the Jaguars are sitting there and those are a couple of their options, I think you feel really good about that situation.
Now, here's the question, Tony. If both are gone and the Jags still have that need at corner, Cooper DeJean, Kool-Aid McKinstry, Nate Wiggins, are any of those guys, in your opinion, worthy of the 17th pick?
If you're talking pure athletic traits, I love Cooper DeJean. I think he can do multiple things. But for next up for me, it probably would be Nate Wiggins. I think he's one of those guys that could come in. I've mocked him to Jaguars, you know, Jaguars a few times this offseason. I think he's another guy that could play well. But as far as I go, that they're probably just another tier below, but taking nothing away from them either.
Tony Catalina of Pro Football Network. All right, if it's not corner, Tony, wide receivers getting a lot of talk. Now, you had the Jags going wide receiver in round two in your mock draft, Xavier Leggett out of South Carolina, which personally I would love that, by the way. But in talking about round one, a lot of talk about Brian Thomas and A.D. Mitchell. The thought is Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, Rome Odunze are all going to be gone by the time the Jags pick if they stay at 17. And it seems to me in the last, say, week or so, that Brian Thomas might be separating himself from A.D. Mitchell a little bit as the clear number four in this draft. What are your thoughts on Brian Thomas?
I would agree with that, right? I think there's obviously, like you mentioned, there's a top tier three guys. Brian Thomas was lumped in there, like you said, with the A.D. Mitchells. Maybe Xavier Worthy's got bumped up after his combine performance. But you're right in the sense that Brian Thomas Jr. is – he's separating himself amongst the pack in that second tier. So what does that mean? Is he a top 20 guy? I mean, I had him mocked at a few places in the mid-20s earlier, and it just didn't seem, you know, low enough for him, right? I think some people think he's going to be in the 15 to 20 range. And, you know, at that point, you got a conversation to be had if you're Jacksonville. And I know a lot of people that feel really good about his prospects. So, I mean, of the tier two guys, he's definitely the cream of the crop.
Is there a player comp for Brian Thomas? I know it's hard. I don't mean to put you on the spot, but I mean, you think LSU, you think Jefferson and Chase, and I don't think he's that. I think Malik Nabers potentially might be that. But is there anybody in the league or anybody that comes to mind in recent drafts that you could comp Brian Thomas with?
It's interesting. You're looking at it, the comps, it's tough, right? Like, when you kind of look at it, I'm trying to think of somebody that makes the most sense here. You know, he's a big body guy, right? Being 6'4", you kind of look at some of these other, I don't know, man. Off the top of my head, I can't really think of somebody that kind of fits the profile. Maybe like a Mike Williams a little bit, just from the size and the strength standpoint. But even that's not a perfect situation. But I would say he's unique in his athletic traits and his abilities. And, you know, you can always use a guy with that size and that stature.
I think one of the more interesting comps I saw for Brian Thomas, and with all due respect to this guy, they said he could be a much better version of Martavis Bryant. Now, Martavis Bryant had a couple of years where he was very good. Obviously, he had some issues that didn't work out for him, but there was a while there where Martavis Bryant was pretty good, and that was the interesting comp I saw for Brian Thomas. So you would be fine with Brian Thomas going 17 to Jacksonville? You don't think that would be too high?
No, I don't. I, you know, as you kind of hone in on your information, you talk to some people around the league and you can really tighten up your board a little bit. I thought I had Brian Thomas as low as, you know, for full transparency, I had him like high 20s at one point. And then, you know, it's from talking to people, they're like, he's probably a little closer to the, you know, the 17, 15, 20-ish range. So I think us in the media kind of got on him a little later, which is kind of crazy to say because he played with Jaden Daniels and Malik Nabers, but he's a kid that is rising up the boards a little bit right now.
Couple of more for Tony Catalina of Pro Football Network. Now, if the Jaguars have needs at corner and wide receiver, Tony, it seems to me maybe take corner in round one because wide receiver is a little deeper, and whether it is a Xavier Legette, potentially a Keon Coleman, a Ricky Pearsall, somebody like that, you could get in round two. Do you think that's accurate? Wide receiver is deeper, so if you have a need at both, corner would be the safer route to go in round one?
I 100% agree. I think when you look at it, right, I think the top end corner guys are really interesting. Like we mentioned them, like five guys, Nate Wiggins, Cooper DeJean, all these guys that we just talked about. If you get one of those, you feel good about it in round one. But as you look into the second round wide receivers, third round wide receivers, you feel pretty good about it. Like Malachi Corley out of Western Kentucky. I think Ladd McConkey's probably going to work his way into the front end of the second round. So that second tier of wide receiver, even into the third tier, is deeper than where the cornerback spot is for me. And the gap between is not as steep at wide receiver as compared to maybe cornerback is.
One of the great things for Jacksonville on a team like Jacksonville, Tony, is word coming out today is that five, maybe six, dare I say, quarterbacks could be going in the top part of round one. I think that's a little ambitious, but I think certainly four at this point's a lock. And then we'll see about Michael Penix and Bo Nix. And the more quarterbacks that go off the board, the more offensive tackles and wide receivers that go off the board, keep pushing those defensive guys down to a team like Jacksonville at 17.
Yeah, I mean, everybody around the league that isn't looking for a quarterback is hoping for that, right? Let's make every pick in the front end in front of them be a quarterback. If somebody trades up like Minnesota, or we're talking about, you know, even Las Vegas moving up, that's everyone's going to be happy for that, right? So I think you're right. I mean, at one point in time, early on, I'm like, all right, there's only got to be three quarterbacks. We know who they are. But now J.J. McCarthy sneaks in. Michael Penix sneaks in. Bo Nix is getting talked about with a fit in the first round. So you're right. I mean, you're sitting here in six of the first 32 picks being quarterbacks. Everyone around them is feeling really good about that.
And with that, I mean, look, Jared Verse has always been my caveat for the Jaguars. I think wide receiver and DB are the two biggest needs. Having said that, the idea of Trayvon Walker, Josh Allen, Eric Armstead, and Jared Verse would have me thinking. What do you think the odds are, Tony, that Jared Verse would be available at 17 on Thursday night?
You know, he's really interesting because when I first started looking and doing these exercises, I had him as a top 15 guy, like solidified. But then as you talk a little bit, you see that, you know, maybe he's kind of got a little bit pushed down the board, maybe – whatever the case may be, a little bit of fatigue. You wonder how much of it is real and how much of it is just talk. So I would say, I'd venture to say that the chance that he's there is probably less than 50%. But you're right. If he's there, he's a guy that you can throw and plug into that defensive line and feel really good about adding another, you know, dominant pass rusher to that group.
All right, Tony. Again, Tony Catalini of Pro Football Network. If we wrap up, all right, let's talk about everybody that's realistic. Obviously, Marvin Harrison and Malik Nabers, those aren't realistic. But of the guys we've talked about, whether it's Brian Thomas, A.D. Mitchell, Jared Verse, Quinyon Mitchell, Nate Wiggins, Terrion Arnold, all the guys, lump them all in. Who would you go with if they're all on the board at 17 Thursday night for the Jaguars?
To be honest with you, it sounds like I'm, you know, sticking to my board here, which is, you'll see a lot of people say that this weekend. I love Quinyon Mitchell for the Jaguars. I think I've had him mocked to you guys for a long time. He's somebody that I'm really impressed with. I mean, I'm excited to see because I think he's going to catch a lot of people by surprise. They think this Mac kid, you know, what is he going to do against NFL talent? But he's big, he's strong, he makes plays. I really think he's going to come in and be a day one fan favorite in Jacksonville, and I think he's going to match the production with the hype. So for me, I'm going to stand pat and say Quinyon Mitchell at 17, man. That's a solid selection for me.
Tony, final question. Give us a surprise on Thursday, somebody that's going to go way earlier than expected or somebody that's going to plummet a lot farther than expected.
You know, it's funny, I've been hearing this, and I don't know how much is the validity in it, but you only hear the rumblings, and you try to hope it's not smokescreen. The Bo Nix and Sean Payton infatuation is interesting. I wonder, you know, I know they got Zach Wilson, but if you look at that room, that quarterback room is probably the worst in football right now. For me, I wouldn't be surprised to see some type of maneuver that Sean Payton ends up with Bo Nix in Denver.
Boy, that would be very, very interesting. And again, that would bring a smile to Jaguar fans' faces because that would mean more defensive guys would get pushed down the board. All right, Tony, tell the good folks here in Jacksonville about Pro Football Network. I know you guys will have a ton of coverage here beginning on Thursday.
Absolutely. We're going to be jam-packed with all the, you know, NFL draft content. You can find me on Twitter, Tony_Catalina, and all the Pro Football Network stuff. So, man, I appreciate it.
Tony Catalina of Pro Football Network. Tony, enjoy the draft. Really appreciate you hopping on with us here just basically hours before the draft kicks off. Brother, let's do it again after the draft. We'll see where the dust is settled when it comes here in Jacksonville. Thank you, my friend.
Absolutely. Take care.
Hacker After Dark on 1010XL.
All right, busy first hour, 1 hour to go. We're with you till 10 o'clock tonight here on 1010XL and on 92.5 FM, Hacker After Dark. Coming up in less than 10 minutes, Dave Kluge of Football Guys, talk more draft, a little bit on Jaguar offseason as a whole and what it means leading in to tomorrow, Friday, and Saturday up in Detroit. Also, Rick Saratella of the NFL Draft Bible. I've had Rick on for years. He's a character. There's no question about that. And he'll join me towards the bottom of the 9 o'clock hour. Interesting developments in the NBA playoffs tonight. 8.5 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. Miami, the 8 seed, leads Boston the 1, 90-81. A 9-point lead for Miami, 8:20 to go. Looking to even that series at a game apiece. Remember, Miami eliminated Boston last year after Miami had to play in the play-in. Sound familiar? Miami had to play in the play-in this year, and they are up 9 in game 2. 8 minutes to go. We can even the series at a game apiece. Later on, the Pelicans and the Thunder, game 2. All right, our final Hacker After Dark until Friday. The head coach Dave Campo will be in studio with us on Friday for rounds 2 and round 3 of the NFL draft. Reminder, I will be in with Hayes Carline tomorrow, sitting in on the Frangie Show from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock as, again, we get you ready for round number 1 and the Jaguar Draft Party, which will be taking place down at Everbank Stadium tomorrow. Long way to go here, though, on a Wednesday evening. Rick Saratella, NFL Draft Bible, a little less than 30 minutes away. Coming up next, Dave Kluge of Football Guys. Let's talk Jags offseason. Let's talk AFC South offseason and what it all means. Heading into Detroit tomorrow night, now less than 24 hours away from the National Football League Draft. With Dylan Denmark, the Hacker Ryan Green with you. As we roll on a Wednesday evening here in Jacksonville, Florida, it's Hacker After Dark. Back here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM in the city of Jacksonville, your home for the Jacksonville Jaguars, and we are glad you are with us. Of course, Jacksonville, the 17th pick in round number 1 on Thursday night. It's been a very eventful offseason already for the Jaguars, and they have 8 picks as we're talking right now heading into this weekend's NFL draft. With that, Dave Kluge of Football Guys, always kind enough to give us some time here on 1010XL. Dave, it's been a little while, man. How are you?
Doing great. Yeah, got a little busy here with some real world stuff. I think the last time we talked was right around free agency, but we got a lot more to talk about with the draft just a few days away here now.
Yeah, it's been a busy offseason for the Jaguars. You and I talked prior to free agency. We had a lot of questions at the time, didn't have a lot of answers. Now we have a lot of those answers. Dave, before we get into the draft, man, when you look at it from a totality standpoint, what the Jaguars did and in some instances did not do over the last couple of months. What's your thought on the way the roster looks right now?
It was quiet for them, and we'll talk about, you know, addressing some of these needs in the draft here, but you know, it seems like the jury is still out, at least from a national standpoint, on Trevor Lawrence. And I think that some of us football nerds who get deep into the weeds here and look at the numbers think that Trevor Lawrence is a good quarterback, but I don't know if that's really the public opinion around the nation right now. And I think a lot of people were hoping that they would kind of make one of these all-in moves, go after one of the big available receivers, or maybe move up in the draft to get one of these big three. And they've been a little bit stagnant so far, but I don't think that it is necessarily a bad thing. I think the Jaguars, despite still having some holes on the roster, I think that they're in a decent spot going into 2024.
You look at the skill positions, obviously Calvin Ridley gone, Gabe Davis in, Christian Kirk is healthy, Zay Jones is healthy, of course, Evan Engram, Travis Etienne. With the skill position players around Trevor Lawrence, Dave, do the Jaguars have enough to win in 24, or is that a big position of need heading into Thursday night?
You know, I think that they could. I don't think that there's slouches by any means, but with that 17th pick, and I'm sure – again, you know, I'm not super plugged into the Jacksonville beat. I hear what I hear, but Brian Thomas just makes so much sense to me at 17. He plays such a similar role to what they lost in Calvin Ridley. And really, I think with Calvin Ridley, they were kind of trying to fit a square peg into a round hole by asking him to stretch defenses vertically, run the majority of his routes downfield. And that is actually what Brian Thomas's bread and butter is getting deep. So you've already got Etienne, who can do his stuff behind the line of scrimmage. You got Evan Engram and Christian Kirk, who can work the middle of the field on the short and intermediate routes. And then I feel like Brian Thomas fits in perfectly to play that wide receiver role that can stretch defenses out a little bit. So, well, I think they could get by with Zay Jones in that spot. The struggle with Zay Jones, of course, has always been health, and relying on Zay Jones now going into what, his sixth or seventh year, expecting him to stay healthy for a full 17 games is quite a big ask. So it wouldn't shock me if they use that 17 pick to vacate or fill the role that was vacated by Calvin Ridley.
Dave Kluge of Football Guys here with us on 1010XL in Jacksonville. I want to get back into Brian Thomas in a moment, but you have done this for a long time. Here locally, Dave, we're higher on the Gabe Davis signing than what's being talked about nationally. In fact, nationally, that got panned a little bit. What is your thought on Gabe Davis coming to Jacksonville?
I think he's a bit of a one-trick pony. You know, there was always hope that he could develop into something better than I think the player that he is. And I think so much of our expectations for Gabe Davis were clouded by that 4-touchdown game in the playoffs just a few years ago. Obviously last year he had the ankle injury and that really kind of set him back a little bit. I think that for real life, you know, he can do some things that you want to see on a football field when it comes to getting deep and using speed to get behind defenses. As far as my projections for the 2024 season though, kind of looking at him as the fourth option on the offense right now behind Kirk, Engram, and Etienne.
And you mentioned Brian Thomas, and I saw you tweeting about this earlier, the Jaguars and Brian Thomas. You like the combination there. Is there a player comp? I mean, I'm assuming most Jaguar fans have seen Brian Thomas from his days at LSU, but when you look at him, is there somebody, whether a former LSU player or whomever, that you can say, yeah, Brian Thomas kind of reminds me of said player?
You know, I don't get super deep into comps because everybody's going to kind of nitpick them a little bit here and there. It's tough for me to comp him to one player specifically. You know, I feel like a lot of these tall speedsters, you know, everybody always wants to make the comp to Randy Moss, but I just think that's such a lofty and unrealistic comparison. I've heard the Martavis Bryant one thrown around quite a bit, and I do like that. You know, he lacks some of the refinement you want to see in the shorter to intermediate parts of the field, but he does have that speed to really get deep. I don't do player comps specifically, so you're putting me on the spot a little bit with this one right here.
Dave Kluge of Football Guys. No, and the reason I bring it up is people see Justin Jefferson, right? And people see Jamar Chase. And I don't think Brian Thomas is that, but I don't think he's Terrence Marshall either. I mean, LSU's had a lot of wide receivers, and I'm just curious, in your opinion, is Brian Thomas going to be more on the side? I'm not necessarily saying he has to be Jefferson or Chase, but LSU's had some duds as well in the NFL. What is your thought on Thomas for the short term and the long term in his NFL career?
No, I think he's much better than Terrace Marshall. I think the loft to Justin Jefferson is a little bit lofty. And to be honest, I do see some of Justin Jefferson's game when I watch Malik Nabers. And I think Malik Nabers is clearly the better of the two. But I think Brian Thomas absolutely has what it takes to make it in the NFL, even if he does lack some of the refinement, the athleticism he has, the size he has. Those are things that you can't teach. So if he lands in a spot with some good coaching where they can polish up some of the route running, polish up some of the technical stuff, I think he's got just as high of a ceiling as almost any wide receiver in this class.
If we assume Adunze, Nabers, and Harrison Jr., the three top wide receivers, are gone by 17, is there any other wide receiver aside from Brian Thomas that would be worthy of the 17th selection in this draft?
I don't think so. And I think this is a very good wide receiver class, but I think they all kind of have little problems that you can pick in each of their profiles. And I kind of have Brian Thomas in a mini tier of his own where he's below the big three, but he's above the rest. I do like Xavier Worthy, but I think that he lacks some of the skills you want to see to be a first round or the upper half of the first round prospect. Ladd McConkey is a guy that I am very high on, and I think that he could be good, but the Jaguars could probably wait until round two if they wanted to pick him. I don't expect anybody to be taking McConkey in the first round. A.D. Mitchell is another guy similar to Brian Thomas that has the really high ceiling, but has some problems with the intricate technical parts of his game. And I think that he's going to slide a little bit. So right now it would be pretty tough for me to move any of these other wide receivers ahead of Brian Thomas. Like I said, he just kind of fits in this mini tier of his own below the big three and above the rest for me.
A couple of more for Dave Kluge of Football Guys. Defensive back is another position, Dave, that we've talked a lot about here in Jacksonville. It looks like the big two are Quinyon Mitchell and Terrion Arnold, in whatever order you want to put them in. Will one of them be there at 17? I guess that's the question. And if not, is there a corner, your third-ranked corner on the board, that would be worthy of the 17th pick?
I think you got it right where those are the two right there. Cooper DeJean is another guy that we've seen moving up mock drafts quite a bit, and he just has athleticism that I think surprises a lot of people. So we just did a mock draft on my podcast this morning, my co-host and I, and we actually had four cornerbacks going in the first round. Of course, the two that you mentioned. And then we also had Cooper DeJean and Kool-Aid McKinstry out of Alabama. So Kool-Aid McKinstry is a guy that is, I think that his game is going to translate really well to the NFL. Expect to see him go in the first round as well. But it wouldn't surprise me if Terrion Arnold is still on the board at 17. And I think that's going to be a tough decision that Jacksonville front office is going to have to make between Brian Thomas and Terrion Arnold.
In your mock draft, I'm curious, who did you have? Did you have Jacksonville going Brian Thomas?
We did, yeah. And that was, I think especially if you start looking at Vegas books right now, almost all of them have his over-under set at 16.5. It just seems like the stars are aligning. His skill set, what he brings to the table, the role that was vacated by Calvin Ridley, it just seems kind of like one of those you don't want to overthink it picks. I think if Brian Thomas is there at 17, that's where he's going to end up.
Yeah, and I wouldn't mind that pick at all. There's a couple of caveats. I'll give you one big one at the end, but I'm curious here. You know, the draft's all about 5 or 10 years down the road, not 1 year. And Jaguar fans may not like this, but the reality is you have three pretty good offensive tackles in this year's roster with Cam Robinson, Walker Little, and Anton Harrison. Well, Cam Robinson and Walker Little are scheduled to become free agents at the end of the 24 season. Their futures are very much up in the air right now. So even though you have depth at offensive tackle right now, that could be a very different story in, 8-9 months' time. And I'm curious, from your point of view, could offensive tackle potentially be in play for the Jaguars looking down the road a little bit?
Yeah, and I think that, if one of these big guys, if somehow Fuaga or Fontenot slides, I think that that would probably be the choice, but I expect both of those guys to be gone well before pick 17. And then once you start looking at some of the other guys, Amarius Mims, J.C. Latham, I don't know if there's a huge gap between them and Jordan Morgan or Kingsley. I always get this guy's last name. Was it Suma? I'm not even going to try. The kid out of BYU. you know, they're going to be available in round two. And I think that the Jags might have an opportunity to get them at 48. So I think that they probably will look at offensive line in the second round, maybe even the third round comp pick that they picked up along the way. But I think as far as the two that you'd want in round one, I don't expect either of them to be making it to 17.
My caveat, Dave, and I agree with Brian Thomas. I also think corner is going to be a very interesting pick if Mitchell or if Arnold are there at 17. My caveat the entire offseason has been this. I didn't think there was a chance that either Latu from UCLA or Jared Verse from Florida State would be there at 17. But the more mock drafts that you see, particularly recently, more quarterbacks are going in the top 16. Wide receivers, offensive tackles, it's pushing these defensive guys down the board a little bit. And I got to tell you, man, if Jared Verse, as an example, is there at 17, and I have the idea of him, Trayvon Walker, Josh Allen, and Eric Armstead, Dave, to me, that would be very hard to pass up.
Yeah, and we had Verse going 16, and that was one that we were very split on because Jared Verse is a guy we know the athleticism is off the charts, and we know how good he can be. I'm a Bears fan, and I can tell you, you know, I've got a lot of people in my DMs every single day and on Twitter telling me that the Bears should be going after Jared Verse at pick 9. We had him going at 16 in today's mock, and it's just kind of one of those things where I think we get so infatuated by the quarterbacks and the wide receivers, the sexy positions that everybody likes, and we kind of forget about the defensive players, and then every year we see these guys go higher than expected. So I heard you say Jared Verse, you cut out. Who was the other guy that you had mentioned hopefully dropping to 16?
Another edge guy like Latu, like from UCLA, a guy of that sort.
Yeah, and it could happen, certainly. We had Latu going 12th to Denver and Jared Verse going 16 to Seattle. But again, these are guys that we were both talking about as, you know, top 10 picks just a month ago, and they just keep falling and falling and falling. So it's possible. And you know, I've got both of those guys, Latu and Verse, ranked ahead of Thomas. So I am projecting Thomas to go to Jacksonville just because I think that's kind of how the stars are going to align. But if one of those edge guys does slip down to 17, I'd prefer him ahead of Brian Thomas. I don't think you'd ever have too many pass rushers on a team. Like you mentioned, that foursome, having that up front, that would just be a nightmare for any opposing quarterback.
Final moments, Dave Kluge of Football Guys. Dave, as we begin to wrap up, Brian Thomas, back to him. That's where you believe the Jaguars are going to go. If he is involved, and that puts him with Evan Engram and Christian Kirk and Gabe Davis and presumably Zay Jones, although I think Zay might have his future in doubt here if they draft Brian Thomas. What does the Jaguar offense look like? You said that's the missing piece. Do you feel like that puts their offense maybe over the top, adding a talent like Brian Thomas?
You know, I don't think it changes things all that much from last year. Like I said, there's a lot of similarities to what they'll be asking Brian Thomas to do to what they were asking Calvin Ridley to do last year. I don't think it would really be much of a change. Basically what they're doing is getting the same level of player and the same level of production from a guy at a fraction of the cost, and they'll have the contract control for the next 4 to 5 years. So I think that that's why it kind of makes sense. One of the reasons they're willing to let Ridley go this offseason: one, they get the comp pick in return, and two, knowing that they can replicate the value they had from Calvin Ridley with Brian Thomas in the draft for a much cheaper price.
Final thought, if they go corner in round one, I've heard it's a very deep wide receiver class, 48 in round two, whether it's a Ricky Pearsall, a Keon Coleman, a guy like that, is there value at wide receiver, say at pick 48?
There is, and we've seen, you know, second round wide receivers have a pretty good hit rate, and this is a deep class. I like the guys that you mentioned. I also threw Ladd McConkey out there as another guy that might slip. I don't know if they fit quite as well. You know, Ladd McConkey does a lot of the same things that Christian Kirk does, so there might be a skill set overlap there. I think if they are going to wait until round two, again, they're kind of looking for a guy that can facilitate the same need or the same role that Calvin Ridley had last year. I think two guys to keep an eye out, you mentioned Keon Coleman, another one would be Troy Franklin out of Oregon. Those are two guys that might be on their radar in round two if they do pass on Brian Thomas in round one.
Dave Kluge of Football Guys. Dave, tell the good folks here in Jacksonville about Football Guys and the coverage you'll have coming out in the coming days and weeks.
Yeah, we're actually getting together live this weekend on Thursday. So, you know, we're normally doing all of our podcasts and YouTube shows and stuff scattered all over the country. We're all getting together to do some live draft coverage on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. So you can check that out on youtube.com/footballguys, or you can find it over on my Twitter feed at Dave Kluge. That's K-L-U-G-E.
Dave, I know you're very busy, man. Thank you for taking time out. We certainly appreciate it. Let's circle back after the draft. We'll see where the dust has settled here in Jacksonville, and we'll get your thoughts on what the Jaguars accomplished this weekend up in Detroit.
Looking forward to it. Thanks a lot.
Back here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM in the city of Jacksonville, we are glad you are with us. Next week up in Detroit, the 2024 NFL Draft. Of course, the Jaguars have 8 picks as it stands right now in total, 5 in the top 116. That includes the 17th pick in round number 1. Let's talk Jags, let's talk draft, and let's talk with a man that I've had on for years now, Rick Saratella. He of the NFL Draft Bible. He also does work for All Access Football, and he is an NFL draft guy, to say the least. And Rick is kind enough to give us some time here on 1010XL. Rick, how we doing?
Oh, baby. Ryan, thanks for having me, baby. Buckle up.
It's going to be a lot of fun. Look, it was a very interesting offseason for the Jaguars, maybe one of the most active teams in free agency, Rick. Boy, what they did in free agency really is going to affect, it appears, what they're going to do next week at the draft. What's been your thought on the Jaguars offseason to this point?
Well, I'm glad you started there, Ryan, because I was taking a look at the roster and some of the things they did in the offseason. A little bit of a head scratcher to me, letting Calvin Ridley walk away, your leading receiver in his prime, came with those gambling allegations, I understand, but it wasn't a problem to begin with when you traded for him. I just don't understand. You let him walk away. He signs a deal for $50 million guaranteed. The Jaguars bring in Gabriel Davis for $25 million guaranteed, almost half the money, $13 million a year versus $23 million a year. But, oh, by the way, they signed Devin Duvernay. He's going to get another $8 million to $10 million guaranteed. So another $10 million guaranteed. You're almost now at $18 million. What Calvin Ridley is going to get paid with the Tennessee Titans. The NFL is all about moving the chains, putting points on the board. You got rid of a guy in his prime, and now you're even considering drafting a wide receiver in the first round. I thought that was a mismanagement. Also, if you look, Tavon Campbell's hanging out. Like, I'm very familiar with this new kickoff rule. I watched every spring league game there was. So you have a game breaker, right? This guy's just hanging out on the roster. Ryan, maybe you know better than me. Maybe they tried this experiment. Maybe it already failed. This guy was a game-changing return man out of Regina, one of the fastest people in the NFL. That's why he's still in the league, runs a 4.3. I already had a return man on the roster, and I already had slot receivers like a Devin Duvernay. So I thought they mismanaged that situation. Wide receiver now becomes somewhat of a need because Gabe Davis, one good game, then a disappearing act. If you look at his 746 receiving yards, 90% of it came in a 4 or 5 game, you know, periodical stretch.
It's an interesting way to look at it. I personally think the Titans overpaid for Ridley, but when you talk about what Gabe Davis and Devin Duvernay got here and you compare that to what Ridley got, I guess I haven't looked at that as you mentioned. Look, Trent Baalke at the end of the year, Rick, talked about the lines of scrimmage. That's where the Jaguars had a big problem, and I agree with him. Tennessee, week 18, that was ridiculous. They dominated the Jags on both the O-line and the D-line. Jacksonville re-signs Ezra Cleveland. They bring in Mitch Morse from Buffalo. They go and get Eric Armstead on the defensive side from San Francisco. To me, what they lacked in bringing back Ridley, I think they did a good job on the lines of scrimmage. What was your thought there?
No, I think you make some valid points, and they've always believed in building from the inside out, so I think they needed to firm that up. I think they'll continue to look to address those areas again in the draft and double down on it as well. So I do like Mitch Morse, a solid man in the middle. Armstead, just a big presence up front. You put him next to or opposite of Josh Allen and let them kind of do the tango and run some stunts inside outside type of thing with Trayvon Walker. I think you can get creative. Darnell Savage, you know, I thought he had a streaky career up and down a little bit there in Green Bay. I'm a big fan of Andre Sisko. I'm not sure what his durability was last season. I know he's kind of been injured. They have some insurance there in Wingard, so there's some good safety security depth there. The secondary, however, is probably where I would go with their first round pick. You mentioned number 17 overall. I think the secondary needs to continue to stack there.
Rick Saratella is the creator of the NFL Draft Bible. You can also check him out at All Access Football covering the draft. This is his time of year, and we appreciate his time with us here on 1010XL in Jacksonville. Rick, when you look at the draft, right, let's talk about wide receiver first. We'll get to corner in a second. The two names that you see associated with Jacksonville at 17, unless they move up, is Brian Thomas out of LSU and A.D. Mitchell out of Texas. Your thoughts on both guys, and if both guys are there at 17, who would you like more for the Jaguars?
You know, it's a tough call. I know the consensus is Brian Thomas, and I can't argue with that, but I like Adonye Mitchell a little bit more. When you talk about the size, speed, athleticism, you know, ironically enough, they were tested and measured very similar at the combine. But if you take a look at the explosiveness, that's where I give the slight edge to Mitchell. The 1.45 10-yard split, I believe that is the fastest amongst any wide receiver in the NFL draft, including Xavier Worthy. Also, you take a look at the 11.4 broad jump. Okay, those are superior numbers. That tells me he has short area explosiveness at 6'2", 205. I think this guy has an opportunity to really be the number two wide receiver, and people don't realize that.
Cornerback is also a position, Rick, that you hear associated with Jacksonville. You alluded to it earlier. Now, conventional thinking is that Quinyon Mitchell from Toledo and Terrion Arnold out of Alabama, the top two corners, may be gone at 17. In a hypothetical scenario, if they are gone, Rick, who do you have as number three, and would that player warrant a pick at 17?
Well, I would pump the brakes with that cornerback logic, because can you find a defensive player that's going to be taken in the top 10, Ryan? Maybe number eight at Atlanta, but maybe they trade back. Maybe there's not a defensive player taken in the top 10. And I think the edge rushers might be coming off the board first. So I think there's a very good chance that either Quinyon Mitchell or Terrion Arnold could be there for the Jaguars. Now, if it's Quinyon Mitchell from Toledo, that fits the DNA of the one Doug Peterson at 6'1", 195, fast, physical. I don't think there's any question who the number one corner is. It's Quinyon Mitchell all day. A big fan of Terrion Arnold, but Quinyon Mitchell is just bigger, stronger, faster. And I tell this story a lot. You know, I get the privilege to visit a lot of training camps. Haven't been to one of Doug Peterson's training camps in Jacksonville yet. I will be this year. But when he was in Philadelphia and I was touring the country and visiting all these training camps, nobody, maybe Bill Belichick, but nobody hits harder and more than Doug Peterson. Quinyon Mitchell is the physical type of cornerback that Peterson salivates over.
Couple of more for Rick Saratella, the creator of the NFL Draft Bible. It's interesting you say the corners at 17. I would love that scenario. Another scenario is the edge rusher. And look, based on your logic, I think I know where you're going to go with this. I would love a chance at Jared Verse if I'm the Jaguars, because there's a lot of mock drafts out there that have Verse available at 17, which quite frankly, Rick, I can't believe. I thought he would be a top 12, certainly a top 15 selection. Ultimately, he still may be. But man alive, I understand that might not be a pressing need with Walker and Allen and Armstead. But if Jared Verse is sitting in your lap at 17, boy, isn't that something you have to think about if you're Doug Peterson, Trent Baalke, and the Jaguars?
No doubt about it. I mean, we got to remember when Jacksonville was at its pinnacle, it was Saxonville. And you can never have enough pass rushers. And injecting a guy like Jared Verse, who's an incredible pass rusher, unique athlete, can play with his hand in the dirt, has some bend to him, and is a proven commodity at the Power 5 level coming from the great Albany Dane program. No doubt, Jared Verse is an option. I think Leitu Latu is the wild card, right? Because I do believe Dallas Turner will be the first edge rusher off the board. And then Latu, you know, a guy that was medically retired at one point due to a neck injury. I thought he was underwhelming personally at the Senior Bowl. You're hearing he may slide. You're hearing he could be the first pass rusher off the board. If he's the number two, well, then there's a very good chance that Jared Verse is hanging out at number 17.
Rick, while we're talking about that, Trayvon Walker last year, amidst the collapse at the end of the year, losing 5 out of 6, that got all the headlines. But I got to tell you, Trayvon Walker, to me, found something at the end of last year. I think 8 of his 10 sacks came in the last 6 or 7 games of the year. What's your thought on Trayvon Walker entering year number three of his career?
I like the development. I kind of questioned the move at first, but it's grown on me, Ryan, especially the way they've constructed that front seven. You mentioned Armstead is a big body. You got Josh Allen coming at you. So you got guys taking up space. I mean, Harris Robertson, I mean, that's another guy. He's a kind of under the radar guy, another big body guy. I was a fan of Davon Hamilton. I thought they got premium value because he had that heart murmur coming out of the draft. So, like, you look at their front seven, they got big space-eating guys that can set the edge against Duran and get after the quarterback. And I think you could do a lot of mix and matching, and adding a guy like a Verse would be very intriguing.
So, Rick, as we begin to wrap up, pick 17, corner and wide receiver, that's what everybody's talking about. And I want to get your thoughts there in 1 second. Offensive tackle, though, I want to bring to your attention. The Jaguars in 2024 have a decent amount of depth, right? Anton Harrison from last year, Cam Robinson, and Walker Little. But after the 24 season, Robinson is a free agent. Walker Little is a free agent. Do you think it's plausible Jacksonville may look at the offensive tackle position because there is uncertainty in the futures of Robinson and Little? And if they are looking offensive tackle at 17, who is the guy you like in that spot?
I do believe they'll take a good hard look at it, especially with Robinson, who does have some injury history there. So I thought about this, like, there's a scenario now where Talis Fuega from Oregon State is number 2 offensive tackle on some people's big board. There may be a chance that Fashanu out of Penn State, who pulled his hamstring at the combine, was limited at his pro day, was there, kind of some of that luster's worn off, the shine is not as glamorous from the Penn State offensive tackle. I think he's a dark horse candidate to be there at 17. And if you're sticking to the best player available model, I think Fashanu would be the guy that you just hope and pray slides to you.
All right, Rick, you've been talking mock drafts, regular drafts, any type of drafts for weeks and months on end. It comes to fruition next week up in Detroit, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, at pick 17, based on everything we've talked about for the last 12 or so minutes. In what direction would you like to see the Jaguars go?
I'm going to do cartwheels. I'm going to say Quinyon Mitchell coming out of the mid-major program there, Toledo, maybe slides a little bit more than he should. And I think he's the lockdown corner they need to plug and play into that defense. Run that card up there, Ryan. It's Quinyon Mitchell.
That would be great, considering the Texans now with Stephon Diggs and all that talent, Tennessee with Calvin Ridley and DeAndre Hopkins. So you need corners. There's no question about that. Rick, you're the creator of the NFL Draft Bible, but I know you're also with a website covering the draft. Tell people here in Jacksonville where they can find your work in the days leading up to the NFL Draft.
Appreciate that, Ryan. AllAccessFootball.com. We're going to have some great coverage leading up to the draft, during the draft, following the draft. We have a great article coming out with Howard Balzer, Pro Football Hall of Fame writer, doing a deep dive into the 2024 quarterback class. Obviously, Jacksonville doesn't need one, Ryan. We didn't get into those guys, but it is a fascinating deep dive that you can find over there. And, of course, always talking draft year-round on Twitter. I'm not hard to find. Always appreciate our annual Chop Shop, Ryan, and appreciate the love, man.
He's one of the best, Rick Saratella. Rick, always appreciate it. Maybe this year I'll dial your phone after the draft. We'll see where the dust has settled when it comes to the Jaguars, and we'll get your thoughts on what they accomplish next week up in Detroit. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you, brother.
And thank you to Rick Sarantel of the NFL Draft Bible, also All Access Football, for joining us here on Hacker After Dark. And what was a crazy busy NFL Draft Eve edition tonight. We emptied it all. We did a ton of interviews this week. You heard a lot of them on Monday, a lot of them on Tuesday, and you heard a ton of them tonight. I certainly want to thank everybody that has spent the last, really the last 3 months with us, quite frankly, getting ready for the draft, but certainly those that spent the last couple of days with us, including tonight, Rick Sarantella of the NFL Draft Bible. Thank you to Tony Catalina of Pro Football Network for stopping by the program this evening. Dave Kluge of Football Guys. Always enjoy the conversation with Dave. We also had Shane Hallam of DraftCountdown.com. You know, that's one of my favorite websites and has been forever, getting ready for the draft. And Brian Sexton, Jaguars.com, who's up in Detroit getting ready for the Jaguars.com coverage of the NFL draft tomorrow evening. Now, speaking of tomorrow, a little bit of a change here on 1010XL. Hacker After Dark will not be on tomorrow night because we will have our NFL draft special on with Frank Frangie, Jeff Loggeman, Tony Baselli, and the crew down there at Everbank Stadium with the draft party. I, however, will be on with Hayes Carline. I join Hayes Carline on the Frangie Show from 4 o'clock to 6 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. So 18 hours or so from now, I'll be on with Hayes from 4 to 6, getting you ready for the NFL draft. Again, thank you to everybody who joined us, not only tonight, but all week long. As it goes for the Jaguars, look, I'll do more of this tomorrow with Hayes from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock, but I'm a corner guy. I've changed my tone on that. I think that's the biggest need for the Jaguars. If Terrion Arnold is there at 17, if Quinyon Mitchell is there at 17, that's probably the direction I'm going. If neither of those guys are there at 17, then I'm probably an edge pass rush guy, whether that's Jared Verse, whether for some reason Dallas Turner falls that far, as he did in the media mock draft earlier today here on 1010XL, and then probably wide receiver slash offensive tackle would be my third choice. I have a night to sleep on it. I'll give you my final predictions tomorrow with Hayes on the Frangie Show, but that's at least where I'm at right now. We certainly appreciate you guys for hanging out with us here on this Wednesday evening and hanging out with us all week long. We will be off tomorrow. Again, I'm on with Hayes Carline from 4 o'clock to 6 o'clock, but Hacker After Dark will return on Friday, and we will have the head coach Dave Campo in studio with us as rounds 2 and round 3 of the NFL draft are ongoing. We'll have instant reaction to the 48th pick in round 2. Hopefully, we'll still be on for the 96th pick in round 3. But the head coach, Dave Campo, joins me in studio Friday night during rounds 2 and 3 of the NFL draft. Dylan Denmark was your producer tonight. Dylan, great job as always. I'm the hacker, Ryan Green. And again, Jacksonville, thank you for spending part of your Wednesday evening with us right here on Hacker After Dark on 1010XL and on 92.5 FM. So for all of us here on HAD, have an absolutely fantastic remainder of your Wednesday evening. We will return on Hacker After Dark Friday night with head coach Dave Campo in studio, but I will talk to you tomorrow beginning at 4 o'clock with Hayes Carline on the Frangie Show. Until then, good night, Jacksonville.